We are joined on the line now by Bill Dunn, who is a political prisoner in Inez, Kentucky at USP Big Sandy. Bill, can you tell us a little bit about your case and what makes you a political prisoner?
Well, my case happened in 1979. There was a radical group called Wells Springs Communion out of San Francisco. One of our comrades got arrested and coming back from Canada. He was a fugitive and on escape from another charge, and had gone on a mission for the collective to scout out some land where we could buy land in a remote area to practice the arts of making revolution. He got in an altercation with a border guard. The border guard ended up getting killed in the shootout, and we sought to effect his armed liberation about 6 months later. And we lost the shootout at the jail, and here I am. That was October the 14th of 1979.
So you've been in prison since 1979?
Yes, it will be 30 years in October.
Talk a little bit about what you have done inside of the prison system. I understand that you are also an organizer. You teach GED classes.
Yes, I do. I feel that an obligation is struggle in whatever community that you find yourself in, and prison is a de facto community, and you struggle in whatever ways that you can be most effective. And here, that's been trying to take the class brethren and spread to them some information that they can use that can improve their lives. Whether or not they use it for the struggle, it will just improve the class if its members are more educated. And so as a result, I teach the GED, and I also teach a vocational residential wiring course. And in the past, I've been a law library clerk and otherwise participated in recreational programs and other things. I've done some writing. In fact, I got banished into internal exile from the Washington prison system where I started this time, for writing a newsletter called the Washington Prison News Service. And for about the 7 years that I was in Marion for seeking to fulfill the first duty of the POW, I wrote a newsletter and edited a newsletter and called the Marionette. That later became a part of the Washington Prison News Service, and I think it had an impact. And all of these things, because our side of the barricade tends to be weak and poor, tend to live short and tenuous lives, and so you do what you can while you can do it, and then move on to something else.
And what exactly were you charged with back in 1979?
I was charged with conspiracy to rescue a federal prisoner, possession of an automatic weapon, car theft, and three bank expropriations, the allegation being that we had financed the operation of liberating our comrade by securing donations from our local financial institutions and otherwise procuring the tools of the struggle.
Who was the prisoner that you were charged with trying to help escape?
Artie Ray Dufour, and also one of our members of our collective.
And you mentioned that you were an advocate of revolution. What brought you to believe that revolution is what's necessary to bring about change in the United States?
Well, I would say that it was probably the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War exposed the country as being, in essence, a prison camp run by imperialists, run by a small elite ruling class, all of whom were capitalists, that redistributed wealth upward and sent the working people of the country out to fight wars of aggression in other places. And people a lot smarter than me, developed that. I only was a kind of a Johnny come lately to the scene, but I learned a lot from it. It opened my eyes. It got me out of the sheltered existence I lived as a child, and let me see what was happening in the world. It showed me a lot of things that they didn't teach me in school, and I'd say that probably that probably made me distrust the system, the government, the status quo enough that I questioned it and saw that this is irreparable. This can't be fixed. It's not a matter of reform. It's not a matter of just doing something a little better or having somebody else do it. It's a systemic problem that needs to be changed. And of course, the ruling class is not going to give up its position of power and privilege without a fight. And hopefully, and over time, I've learned that violence isn't the best solution to any problem. There's many other solutions that need to be implemented first. And if we do our jobs right in seeking and trying to seek revolution and trying to make revolutionary changes, the push will be...
This call is from a federal prison.
Lest you forget. That change will be easy to happen. The push won't have to be really hard.
Do you think that that things have changed significantly? I mean, now we have the nation's first black president. Do you see change coming about through the system, or do you still think that revolution is necessary?
Well, no, because the system is broken, and I've seen Obama's I've kind of watched Obama during the election and during his campaign, and I see that his administration, you know, seriously wants to do something, but they're in the reformist camp. They're prisoners of one of the two capitalist imperialist parties that we have. There's only so far that they can go. They're trying to fix the system, but the system is irreparably broken. I mean, look, every 10 or 15 years, we have some huge scandal. Like this time, it was the subprime loan debacle that brought down the rest of the economy that was teetering on a lot of capitalist casinos where people compete for advantage and wealth and power with other people's money, essentially. And before that, there was the tech stock bubble and the housing stock bubble and the gold scam back in the early 80s. I mean, it's just a succession of these things, and all these things, all these crises of capitalism. What they do is redistribute wealth upward. If you look at any explanation of the system in the last 30 or 40 years, 80% of the people have diminished their share of the national wealth. The share of the national income that goes to the lower 80% has declined. Only to the top 5% has it increased significantly, and the rest of the people have stayed more or less the same. So why is that? Why are people getting poorer if the economy is always growing? We're saying only in recession is the growth negative. Why is everybody getting poorer? Why can nobody afford health care now? Why can nobody afford to retire? And all these things are because you have a robber baron class at the top that redistributes the wealth upward and uses it to lord it over the vast majority of people. And not only that, but waste huge amounts of wealth that could give everybody a better life. And the current Democratic administration, they might be able to drive that car, but they can't change the road that it's on. That's the sign that I've got, I think, a minute left.
Do you consider yourself a communist or an anarchist revolutionary?
Well, I have problems with all of those ideologies, mostly being that you can't really tell what a communist or an anarchist is because they're all over the spectrum. There's like totalitarian communists, like Stalinists, and I couldn't possibly be one of those. And there's right-wing anarchists, and I couldn't possibly be one of those. So I say somewhere in the middle, in the mix of that, there's a blend that would come under some kind of heading of anarcho-socialism that probably isn't precisely defined by a single word. You have to describe where you're at, because all the good words, socialism even, I mean, look, the Nazis were national socialists, and we don't want that. So you have to take a little work to say that, yes, we need a socialist economy, but it has to be an all-people socialism that's inclusive, that gives everybody the greatest potential.
That was political prisoner Bill Dunn speaking from prison in Kentucky. The call was cut off, a common occurrence with calls from prison.